This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and we've got 5 chapters of The Starseeds of Earth on the way today. 33, 34, 35, 36, and 37. There are some very short chapters as part of that, so you get a few this episode. It adds up to a big chunk of story, about 20 minutes worth of story time. Over 20 minutes. And as for the story, Alibi Jones is in the hands of his half-brother Hap, who's clearly unstable. We'll soon discover Hap may have been using some alien material to try to enhance himself. Got a big chunk of story on the way on this episode on Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, the annual Read and Ebook Week is on the way, 1 week from today as I record this episode, coming up on March 6th through the 12th. And with it comes the annual Read and Ebook Week sale at Smashwords at smashwords.com. You'll be able to get both of the omnibuses, the Omnibi, for half price, the Vatican Assassin Trilogy under one cover, and the Chronological Omnibus of Alibi Jones Adventures under one cover. So both of those will be half price, and Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition and Alibi Jones, the original novel, are already free. But I'm going to add Vatican Ambassador and Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her to the free list as well for this week. So they'll be free as well for the week, and this is only at Smashwords at smashwords.com. And they're my indie ebook distributor, so they carry every ebook format. I'll remind you again next week, but yeah, your chance to get some books for free and the omnibuses for half price at Smashwords. Just go to smashwords.com and search for me, Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A, Vatican Assassin or Alibi Jones, and that'll get you there. Or you can head to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. I'll be getting a link for the sale up on the website sometime this week, so should be there soon. And that is all for book news. We're going to get into all those chapters, 5 chapters from The Starseeds of Earth, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio. But first, a word from Paul E. Cooley about his series Derelict. As a science fiction writer, there's not a lot of stuff these days that I read or listen to, but I do listen to Paul E. Cooley tell his Derelict stories. This takes us back to the beginning, where you should be starting if you're going to get into it, Derelict Marines. And we'll get into The Starseeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's Chapter 33 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. It was odd, finally speaking with his mother. She continued to visit over the next few days. He could see she enjoyed being with him. He wasn't sure what he felt. Their conversations gave him plenty of food for thought in the many hours he spent alone in the cell after she'd gone. Alibi discovered Happiness Kim passed himself off as the New Light, leading his cult he called the True Catholic Church here on Fortuna. The New Light, huh? Follow the New Light. Hap doesn't strike me as the messianic type. Not when he's striking me, anyway. Suppose he doesn't need smooth persuasion when he can move people with his mind. According to Ruth, the Splinter Group was originally founded by a cardinal who called himself the Light many years ago, back on Earth. The cult then relocated, squatting Fortune Station, left abandoned in high Earth orbit. She explained that BC, Alibi's father, had been on a mission to Fortune Station to assassinate the Light years ago, when he'd met her, and Alibi had been conceived. The tryst with Ruth provided BC cover when the Light died that same night. He'd been named for what his mother gave his father, an alibi. What's in a name? Alibi laughed as a thought struck him. Happiness. Ruth had a better time of it with Hap's father then, didn't she? One thing she mentioned actually surprised Alibi. Ruth insisted mental gifts ran in her family. While giving BC credit for his gifts, she said her own heritage must have also contributed to Alibi's abilities, and insisted Hap's natural talents were proof of this. I'm not so sure of that. Alibi bet Hap was using advanced alien tech to enhance his mental abilities, stuff forbidden and illegal in the Solar Alliance. And by the look of him, it was taking a toll. His skin was often bright red, veins rising prominently at his temples. His blood pressure had to be through the roof. Wasn't Satan supposed to be all red-faced? Well, think of the devil. Hap walked into the room outside of the cell, turned, and glared down at him. Alibi Jones, Hap said. Happiness Kim, Alibi answered. My brother, Hap laughed. Half, Alibi said. Half brother only. Hap ignored him. What makes you so special anyway? Nothing at all, Alibi said. I'm not special. Yet our mother fawns over you as if you were the Christ child. She does? Just because you haven't been here to see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. Okay, Alibi said, noting that the man sounded more than a little unhinged. What would you know? You didn't grow up in a shadow, he said. I grew up in yours. Mother was always constantly Alibi this and Alibi that. You never even visited her in that place. I was there every week. Even though you ignored her, she worshipped you. The man stared at Alibi. Double doors, stone, iron. I got her second best efforts, if that, Hap said. She still cares more about you than me. I know. I grew up in my father's shadow, Alibi said. He still haunts me. Ananita, Krish, so many of his old friends see him in me. I don't like it, but that's the way life is. Life is made up of shadows and light. Are you mocking me? Hap said. You know I can't see inside you. Does that bother you? Where did you get your powers? Hap prodded. Certainly Mother has latent abilities. I've heard your father BC did, too. But what else, huh? Anything else? Nothing at all, Alibi said. Nothing special. What are you using? Shut up! Hap stormed out. Chapter 34. Hap fumed. He was the new light, and he could do what he wanted. It really was a question of control. The light knew. He could control them all. Outright. Make them move the way he wanted. Do what he wanted them to do. Anything. Of course, take too many on, and it was a complicated ballet you were choreographing. Instantaneously. Not an easy feat. Never mind keeping yourself walking in a straight line while piloting all the others. He enjoyed the challenge all the same. After all, it was his gift from God. He'd asked God for a gift and he gave him one, access to other minds. At first, he heard them like voices, stray thoughts in his mind he knew were not his own. Then as he saw their internal clockworks, he began to see how he could take those thoughts, change them, and send them back, and make people think what he wanted them to. But Alibi Jones was closed off to him. He wanted in. He would figure out a way, and pray. The man was a puzzle, and now that he was here, Hap found himself unable to simply kill him. The thought had been easy in the abstract, but faced with its reality, Hap understood God would not be pleased with Alibi's death by his hands. It seemed no accident the Old Testament reading the day Alibi arrived had been from Genesis, telling of Cain's fratricide of Brother Abel. It simply wasn't fair. Chapter 35. Hap came back to see Alibi the next day, a little less red in the face. He looks a little more hinged. Alibi Jones, Hap said. We should talk. What about? Life, Hap said, the universe. And everything, Alibi finished. Yes, I see what you did there, that's funny, Hap said, with little emotion in his voice. He changed the subject and moved on. Do you feel any call? Any need to serve the Lord our God?
I didn't see this coming.
Not really, Alibi said. I never saw it as a positive. Really? Hap said. Look at where I came from, Alibi said. My father, B.C., was a priest, but oh yeah, he killed people in God's name. And our mother, she's very religious, very devout, and she killed B.C. I didn't see their religion doing either of them any favors, any good whatsoever. Do you? Mother is fulfilled by her relationship with our Lord, Hap said. As am I.
Yeah, and you look all kinds of healthy, too.
I see, Alibi said. Well, that's good. If it works for you, and no offense intended. Thank you, Hap said. You're welcome. Alibi wasn't sure what to say.
We are a people with a destiny, don't you see? Hap said. The chosen race of God. We were too blind in the past to see beyond our differences. But now, we can see we are one race, the human race, and we have been chosen by the Lord of this universe to lead the way to Him.
And you're sure about this, Alibi said. Hap looked frustrated.
Did he think he was going to convince me?
So you don't contemplate Jesus, God, creation, nothing? Hap asked. Not unless I have to, Alibi said. The universe itself gives me plenty to contemplate. I don't need to make stuff up to do it.
This isn't made up, Hap said. Sorry, Alibi said. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just talking about for me.
I see, Hap said. He got up to leave. You may be my half-brother, Hap said, but we are nothing alike.
He left Alibi alone in the cell.
Ruth arrived a short time later, a worried look on her face.
You've angered Hap, Ruth said.
That doesn't seem hard, Alibi said. I wasn't trying to. It was his conversation. He kept bringing things up. He just didn't like my answers.
Well, she said, you shouldn't provoke him.
Yes, you're right, Alibi said.
Then why did you? She asked.
Unintentional, Alibi said.
These people are insane.
She walked out, leaving Alibi alone again. He looked around the cell.
Alibi hadn't yet been able to figure out how to escape his jail cell and captivity. There were no evident structural defects he could take advantage of. He'd examined every inch of the cell. It was all low-tech, no-tech, with three concrete walls and the fourth metal bars, welded in place, alongside a heavy door also made of metal bars that clanged shut and was bolted in place. He'd lost his wand to the heretic, long ago now, it seemed. Alibi got up and began jogging in place. There wasn't much room in the cell, but when he realized they weren't letting him out of it for any reason, he'd started exercising in what little space he had next to the folded-up bunk and the combo sink and toilet. It had been over a week. He cleaned up using the sink best he could, but he was still pretty ripe. Kit would be gagging. Alibi frowned. It saddened him, being locked up and so far away from everyone he cared about. Even if the first thing he'd hear from most of them would be, "Told you so." Chapter 36.
"Who's the guy in the cell?"
the Hornet's Nest Deputy Chief of Security asked. B. Dietrich, Grizzly Yakamoto's second-in-command, gestured with her right thumb back over her shoulder.
"Says his name's Finder," Grizz said. "That sound like a real name to you?"
"Nope," Dietrich said.
"Can't say as it does." "Fuck you!"
came a yell from the cell.
"What'd he do?" Dietrich asked. "Contraband?"
"No," Grizz said, surprise echoing in his voice.
"Guy came into the nest, pushed his way into administration, and started waving his blasters around demanding we produce Alibi Jones for him to kill."
"Damn," Dietrich said. "He didn't know Alibi wasn't here."
"Well, we aren't broadcasting that fact, so no," Grizz said. "Suppose that's a good sign."
"How'd he get past our guys in the port?"
"That's a kind of messed up thing," Grizz said. "He's in our system already. There was a note in his file from Emily Brown saying Alibi Jones vouched for him. They figured he was an old friend." "I want my fucking starseed!"
the prisoner screamed.
"Did he say starseed?" Dietrich asked. "Like a seat in the stars?"
"No," Grizz said. "Starseed. Evidently, he thinks Alibi Jones found one of these starseeds and is keeping it from him, from what I can tell."
"He didn't give a statement?"
"Refused."
Dietrich walked over and looked at the disheveled, hairy old man. He glared back at her.
"You know," Dietrich said, "he kind of looks like an evil Santa Claus."
"I wouldn't try to sit on his lap if I were you," Grizz cracked. "Ho fucking ho!" Finder barked at her. "Where's my starseed?"
"You know, that would be kind of cool," Dietrich said.
"What's that?"
Grizz asked.
"A starseed," she said. "So you could just kind of sit out in the stars. Just hang out in space, you know?"
She looked down at Finder.
"Are you fucking kidding me?"
Finder said, glaring back at her.
"No need to be rude," she said.
She popped the side panel next to the cell with her finger, and the force field around the cell went opaque and silent.
"When is Alibi Jones supposed to be back?" Dietrich asked.
"I don't really know," Grizz said.
Chapter 37.
"Alibi!"
Alibi Jones stirred from a light sleep. He sat up on the bunk in his cell. Ruth was standing outside the bars.
"What time is it?" Alibi asked.
"Just after 3 a.m., Ruth said.
"What are you doing here?"
"I'm getting you out," she said, "before Hap kills you." Ruth unlocked the cell and led Alibi out of the jail. They made their way down a rough wooded path. Evidently, the jail building was a little bit out of the way from the rest of their colony.
"What will he do to you?" Alibi asked, concerned.
"Nothing," she said. "I'll be fine. I'm his mother."
"Are you sure?"
"Completely?" she said. "No. But he usually just threatens me. Besides, I'm carrying his child." Alibi stopped running,
stopped short, as if yanked to a halt by the craziness of what he just heard.
His, Alibi tried, your, I mean, you two,
what?
They tried to tell me it was an immaculate conception, Ruth said, and for a while, I believed them. But then, Hap began invading my mind, more and more, and I began to see back into his as well, and I saw the truth. He had me artificially implanted with his baby.
That is fucked up, Alibi said. That is so... Come on, she said, goading him back into action. I can't think about that. We need to move fast. I found you a place on a ship that's leaving within the half hour.
They kept to footpaths in the woods. Alibi saw Ruth was using exercise paths to keep them off the colony's main thoroughfares. He was running for his life.
Why did he do that? Alibi asked as he ran. He couldn't help himself.
To create a new chosen one, Ruth said through her breaths. A new Christ child, with powers given by God for the new manifestation.
That doesn't sound... That's not normal church teaching, is it?
He asked. I never heard that before.
It is, evolved teaching, Ruth said, and Alibi could hear in her voice that she was uncertain of the doctrine as well.
As I've told you, I have some mental gifts. You have them, Alibi, and Hap does too, though sometimes I fear his are not natural. He can feel like such a machine inside of my mind sometimes. Alien.
I don't really have much, like, power or anything, Alibi said. I mostly just defend myself.
Because people seem to keep attacking me.
Alibi looked around as they neared the gate to the colony's port.
Hey, what will we do if Hap wakes up?
He won't, she said, with a finality that made Alibi leave her response unquestioned.
Come on through the gate behind me. Stay close, but don't act suspicious. Just walk.
Ruth walked out of their light-wooded cover and over toward the entrance to the port. Alibi jumped into place behind her. They walked briskly through the gate.
Hap believes if he and I have a child, it will be stronger, she said, looking back at Alibi. He has scientists here who know genetics and that stuff. They worked on the embryo before it was implanted. I can see in his mind they took precautions against birth defects as well.
This is fucking twisted, Alibi said in a heavy whisper as he jogged along behind her.
It is for God, Ruth said, answering his whisper with her own.
Right.
This way.
Can't say as I'm seeing the upside of this whole religion thing.
Ruth led Alibi past darkened ship space, most empty. There was light pouring out from one bay ahead of them. As they approached, Alibi could hear the crew going through checklists and preparing for departure. Alibi and Ruth walked into the bay. Ruth motioned for Alibi to follow her up to the airlock, which stood open as the crew came and went during takeoff prep.
Come on, she said, and walked onto the ship. Alibi followed.
Ruth!
A large, dark-skinned woman greeted his mother in the ship's main corridor.
Captain Kalima, Ruth said. This is my son, Alibi.
Hello, Alibi, the captain said.
I hear you need a ride.
And a shower, Alibi said. I hope your cabins have refreshers.
All the amenities, she said.
Ruth, Alibi said, turning to his biological mother. You should come with me.
He looked down at her swelled, pregnant belly.
This is insane. You know that. Don't let him abuse you like this.
It's not abuse, she insisted, and I will be fine.
You're helping me escape, Alibi said. What if he takes it out on you?
Ruth caressed her belly.
He won't.
Time for you to go then, Ruth, Captain Kalima said. We're taking off now.
Ruth stepped back into the airlock.
Good, she said. Thank you, Captain Kalima.
She walked off the ship and jogged out of the surrounding light into the darkness beyond and disappeared as the airlock doors closed behind her.
"Had enough of the batshit crazy holy rollers, huh?" the captain said to Alibi. He heard the airlock close and seal shut behind him.
The deck began to vibrate subtly as the entire ship hummed along with the warming engines.
"More than enough," Alibi said.
"This way, then," she said. "There's a guest cabin down here you can use." He felt the ship lift off as they walked down the corridor. She showed him to the room and let him in.
"We'll be at the moon in about an hour, if our transpace window holds," she said.
"Thank you." Captain Kalima nodded and left the guest cabin.
Where is that refresher?
That was Chapter 37 of The Starseeds of Earth. We also heard Chapters 36, 35, 34, and 33 on this episode. And Alibi Jones is off. Escape from Hap's clutches with Ruth's help. And Finder has come to hunt down Alibi at the Hornet's Nest. While he's gone. They got him locked up for now, of course. But Alibi Jones isn't on his way to the Hornet's Nest, at least not yet. Looks like he's on his way to Lunar Prime, where he's not exactly welcome, since it's, you know, part of the Solar Alliance and all, so it should be an interesting trip. See how he gets out of this one on our next episode. Hope you'll join me for the next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. That is all for this time. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation,
copyright 2022
by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.